privilege over the last three days to listen to some of the most encouraging discourses and also enlightening discourses in terms of our Christian faith. It's always incredible to be able to have so many brethren from right around the world who bring us not just their experience from their unique perspective of the Christian walk, but their love. And it really came through with all of the discourses that we had. Some of them were very emotional, and I'll talk a little bit about that. And that's just how passionate we are to be with Christ and to be footstep followers of our Lord and to be on the highway of holiness. But before I start, I just wanted to say thank you to the committee that put this international convention together. I want to say thank you very much to Brother Ray, and also to Brother Adam Kopchak, thank you, and also to Brother James Kopchak, who works so hard in terms of the technical side of things. We really say thank you very much for your work, and I hope that I was of assistance on that committee. But one thing we wanted to do is to invite brethren to come along and to talk to us about the deep things. And, you know, we have been so blessed, and we've all gone through so many trials. And I think we'll admit that during this time of pandemic and unease, many have been affected, and unfortunately, even spiritually. And this convention has been one to focus our eye upon the things above. And just as a side point, as Brother Ray mentioned, we had upwards of 63 connections. That doesn't take in the individuals behind that. So we are looking, as Ray said, somewhere between 120 and 150 brethren that have joined us. And that is just a phenomenal thing. In Australia, we do not have a large group as maybe there'd be in the United States or in Europe, but to have so many of you internationally to join us is such a blessing. And we had brethren from the UK, we had brethren from Canada, from India, from Sweden, our beautiful brethren from the Philippines, from the US, and of course here in Australia. So truly it is an international convention, and we have been so blessed, and the talks the talks have been incredible. Also, special thanks to our Polish brethren in the Ecclesia in Melbourne. Still many do not they need translating, I should say, and so for their support, even that sometimes it may be difficult for them to understand every word that said, we just really appreciate their love and their support. And they've always supported us in terms of our conventions here in Australia, and we love them very, very much. And also to those brethren, as has been pointed out, in the retirement village there in the United States, for the brethren there, we know that many of them have served the Lord for decades and decades. And we thank them very much for showing us the way of integrity. So just for those few things, we wish to say thank you and give praise that we have such a beautiful family. And that's what we are. No matter where we are in the world, it's a beautiful family, and we love each other and intensely love each other. So I want to pass that on from the committee to all of you. And also to those who are suffering ill health, we want to send a special message to all of you that we're thinking of you, because we know that Satan is doing everything he can, even using the frailties of the flesh in terms of being unwell, to distract us from becoming new creatures and focusing on Jesus Christ and being distracted by the trials that beset us. We had actually 13 speakers. Oh, 13, won't talk about me. But we had, and in no particular order, but we started, well, it is an order, it's from the beginning. We had the two brethren from the UK, Brother Nicholas Charteris and Fred Binns, who started our convention. And I just want to go through, because last time I always forgot different people. I just mentioned from the UK, the third speaker was Brother Darren Greenhalgh, Brother Nathan Austin from the US, Brother Ben Seawalk from Canada, David Walczyk from the Polish Ecclesia in Melbourne, our lovely brothers from the Philippines, Brother Romy and Brother Greg Agrippina. We really enjoyed your talk, but thank you very much. Brother Ray Charlton, Brother David Stern, Brother Len Rice, Grice, I should say, from the US, Brother Adam Kopchek, and Brother Joe Chapler from the Polish Ecclesia in Melbourne. So that was just, that just gives us a rundown of the diverse group of brothers and brethren from right around the world to make this really one of the most encouraging and loving conventions that I have ever been a part of. It's a huge task when you have, as I said, 12 mature brethren to give discourses, and with prayer and the Holy Spirit to deliver such incredible discourses, to try to consolidate it down into a reasonable time. And I don't want to go on for a very long time, because I think we've got so much to think about. But the themes that have come across from beginning to end, whether it was Brother Joe Chapler or from Brother Nicholas, that the two bookends of our convention is, I wrote down just a few of the points, which is just incredible, considering that brethren put their talks together really in isolation. And that is, the themes that came across was the church. The Christ. What is the Christ? Thought that was the mystery. That just continued from Brother Nicholas all the way to Brother Joe Chapler, that the mystery. The fourth point, which kept on coming out, and I think this was something that really shook me up to understand that our attention needs to be on Christ, and that is that we were chosen before the founding of the earth. We were chosen. We are part of God's mercy. That's how special our brethren are to each other. And that's why we should intensely love one another and look for the best in each other and forgive generously and build each other up, because it's quite incredible what privilege that we have. Also, the point of the new creatures, of being a new creature and how we feed. And that is on God's word and on Christ and the manna from heaven. And lastly, one of the points that just kept on coming through, which was God's mercy. And there was some tremendous talks about God's mercy. And it is far beyond anything that us as human beings are weighing up one side or the other, or what we think this way or that way, or what's right or what's wrong. God's mercy is above. Anything that we can understand. So I'll just briefly, and it will only be brief, go through just some of the highlights from those 12 incredible brothers and friends that prayerfully considered the information that would be upbuilding to the household of God, and what and they over-delivered, absolutely over-delivered, and we are so blessed. Brother Nicholas Charteris, and I should say his name better because I'm Greek, so I still say it like an Aussie, but anyway, God forgive me. Brother Charteris, Brother Nicholas started off with verily, verily. And he spoke about, which I thought was just so brilliant, and this also comes in, is these the weighing of the verilies, the amens, between what is perceived as the positive amens and somewhat negative, which often has to do with judgment upon those who oppose God's plan. But that was when we looked at the amount of verilies, the amount of times that comes through. And what I really liked is obviously verily, verily means amen. Amen. And what I really loved by Brother Nicholas's discussion is he spent a massive amount of time in John. And I shouldn't say it, but John's my favorite book in the Bible. So he talked about, basically he focused on John chapter 8, John chapter 3, John chapter 6, 16, and 5, 18. So basically the whole book, really. But he focused on John, and the themes that he brought up, which were the verily, verily, was for us, especially in John chapter 3 and verse 3, that of the need to be born again. So important. We can't be bystanders to this. We can't just dip our toe into that of Christ. Doesn't work. And the need to be new creatures. He pointed out in John chapter 10, and I really love this. This really, really got me excited. And that was John chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, and where it says, and I'm paraphrasing here, where you've got the only way in is Jesus Christ. It's not organization. It's not a clergy class. It's not a tradition. It's Jesus Christ. And here, in this scripture, in John chapter 10, verse 7 and 8, there's no other way. And the way it's, and I'm paraphrasing here, anybody else that gets in through the door, well, they're a robber. And I love that, because as if you could get in to the kingdom, but I just love that. And that's the way it is. Anybody else, anybody that puts anything above our Lord Jesus Christ and presents themselves as someone that is walking in the way of faith is a criminal, a robber. They're a criminal. The only way is by means of Jesus Christ. And I thought that was just incredible. Also, the need for, in John chapter 5, 19, John chapter 18, verse 34, is the need there of humility. And that just comes across, I think, one of the hallmarks of all of the brethren, which a number of them were brought to tears as they gave their discourses, was humility. Every single one. You do not find that anywhere else. There is no boasting in us. We are the earthenware vessels. It's only in Christ that we have any boasting. And we saw that emotion in the brethren to encourage us to focus on Jesus Christ. That was the verilies there that Brother Nicholas brought us. The second one from the second talk in was Brother Binns, and what manner of person ought you to be? Thought provoking. Because that theme of the character development, who we are, who we're being influenced by. And I'm going to jump a little bit further on, but Brother Nathan's talk, which I'll get to. But the, I'll say it, the demonic influence of the media and the social media, which is corrupting the minds, what they are teaching our children. And I say this, is my daughter at the school, and she's only 7 years old, and I know the others that have children know exactly what I'm talking about, their discussions on human sexuality, on sexual orientation. They've got to the point where the children are not allowed to draw rainbows because rainbow signifies homosexual orientation. I mean, this is ridiculous. So the influence that we are seeing is incredible. We're being forced, the groupthink that is there. So that wasn't exactly what Brother Binns was saying, but to ask us what kind of, what manner of person ought you to be? And it's very easy to be something that is not acceptable and being molded in the image of Christ. Brother Bin spoke about godliness and the Christian nature that we have. Also, what was very important here is he brought out the blessings that were going to be poured out. And I think this is so thought-provoking, which I would like someone far more in-depth than myself to tackle, is that of Peter's words in Acts, where he talks about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and the prophesying, not just for the young men and the old men, but of the women. I'd love a talk at some stage to really tackle that. What does that mean and the role of women in the ecclesias? Because that's what the Bible prophesies. So I thought that was so incredible. And the need for repentance, especially that in the name of Jesus Christ, not any other name. We can only be saved by the name of Jesus Christ in this age. It is not the Father. It is not Jehovah. It is not Yahweh. It is not Lord, capital letters. It is Jesus Christ, full stop. Full stop. So we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. And all of these things are going to come about not just by Christ, but for those who are taking on the Christ. So that was both Brother Binns and Brother Nicholas did an amazing job, and it was incredible to have them from the UK. We went on Saturday, and that was Friday. On Saturday, Brother Darren Greenhouse gave an incredible discourse. I think it's the best that Darren's ever given. It was just incredible. God's inheritance. And here, the theme continued, that of the inheritance was in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. And also some real standout points from Brother Darren's discourse there. John chapter 1 and verse 9, where he brought out that we're really waiting for that time when God will be in all and all will be in God. Well, it's just such a colossal thing for us to understand. But and also he went on to talk about, I think it was from Vines, I wrote down, Vines translation, I think it was, where it says, received as one own. So he really spoke about this idea of this inheritance that we have, once again, that that it is not, as he brought out there in, and I think this is so important, in Hebrews chapter 10 through to 12, It's not through works. And boy, oh boy, do people who claim to be Christians, don't they? The works bit, you know, nothing wrong, not condemning, but you can have your thrift shops and your soup kitchens and all of the aid work and all. That's nothing wrong with that. That's great. That's good. That's loving. But that's got nothing to do with the idea of our salvation. It's actually because we can't produce anything that the miracle of Christ, our inheritance, and that was something that is so important. Big point I wrote down that Brother Darren brought out was, I think, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, and he spoke about, all things being reconciled to God through Christ. It just keeps on going on. If anybody, brethren, gets us ever to take our attention off Christ Jesus, then we cannot be ever reconciled to God. There is no other way. There's no organization. There is no anything else other than Christ Jesus. And that was very well spoken by Brother Darren. Also, the in Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through to 5, which we all look forward to, which is that all the dead are made alive in Christ. And as we know that many of our brethren have passed away, but they are made alive in Christ. And that is so uplifting to us. Yes, it's horrendous and natural when we lose someone that we love. We should mourn. Our Lord Jesus Christ wept bitterly, but we have hope and glory. And also the development of the church. So there was so much that Brother Greenhouse brought out, but our inheritance is to be with Christ, and what the process of the development is needed of us to have ears to hear what we should be doing. And it's humble because there's not much we can do, but it's taking on the Christ and being in the Christ. So that was a new point for me, the way the brother Darren brought out the succor or the which is to come to the aid of anyone, and we see God's love and God's mercy. Jesus as the high priest in Hebrews chapter 2, 17 and 18, feeding back in to this narrative of Christ Jesus. This is just so important. This has just come through the new creature, being in Christ. What does the church mean? And placing Jesus Christ as first and foremost in our thinking, in our prayers, in our walk of life. So there was just so much. I can't cover everything. And being part of the divine family, I love that. That was just in the new abode. That's what Brother Greenhouse said. Part of the divine family in the new abode. And if we've ever felt lost, and we've ever felt depressed and anxious and unsure and feel like we don't fit in, and we don't at times, we're strangers in this world, you know what? We have a family waiting for us in the new abode, the new home, which will be together with Christ Jesus and the Heavenly Father and the angelic hosts. And I've got a lot of work to do. So incredible. Thank you, Brother Darren. We went on to, I'm not going to be able to get to everybody, I'm sorry. Then we went across to Brother Nathan Austin and Brother Ben Seawalk. Brother Nathan Austin, absolutely. I just love the way that he brought the challenges of the Christian person into today. And that is the megalomaniac, demonic influences on social media. And I just love the way he brought the issue of social media, Facebook and so forth, where it obviously has a very positive thing. That's great. That's good. But those who allow to get caught up in that, it is destroying many people's self-esteem. And just the point that he made is that, which I thought was fantastic, is you only put up the best pictures. You know, look at me, I'm on holidays. I'm terrible on social media, but, you know, we're at the beach. We're having a wonderful time. You don't tend to have photos of the house when it's not vacuumed and cleaned and there's washing baskets everywhere and so forth, okay? We don't do that. So all that people see is this hyper-reality, and that is soul-destroying. And as he brought out, which I thought was, I've written this down, is behavioral modification. Isn't that interesting? To modify our behavior, where people, young people, are interested in likes. They put up a picture of them riding a bike and then they're looking to see how many people are liking. This is part of the groupthink. And as those of us who are separate and distinct from the world, not in the sense that we belong to Christ, we only need the ticks and the likes from Christ. That's what we're really worried about. And Nathan really brought out, Brother Nathan Austin really brought out the point really of the ruler of the world. And I'll tell you, it makes me think of the Tower of Babel, you know, Nimrod, this hunter, this opposition to God, built the first skyscraper. Wasn't in Manhattan, wasn't in London. The first skyscraper was there in Babel, okay? And the Heavenly Father said, no, I don't want you in a city. I want you spread out. That's adding to this, I feel that that's part of the groupthink, okay? Those who are not in the city, I believe, have far more independent thought and independent, or at least space, to be able to consider and to contemplate and to meditate. And I was going to go back to Brother Binns. He called it, it was a meditational. That wasn't a discourse. It was a meditational. So we can meditate on what Brother Nathan Austin mentioned for us. So it was, I know I'm simplifying, Paul. Also the idea by, is the idea of the polarities. Okay, right, the right of politics, the left of politics, the blue side, the red side, the conservative, the progressive, the fundamentalists, the liberals. There should be none of that, absolutely none of that in our associations. Okay? We don't have a right Bible to have. Point blank, we don't. Don't have one. We can't be told how we have to feel and how we have to think and how we have to act. And if we don't, we're on the wrong side. We're on the outside. Wrong answer. That is part of the division. God is not divide. God is love. And we're going to have a little bit more of a look in that. So we need to be against that. When we love our neighbors as ourselves, when we give our outer garments to our enemy, that doesn't leave room for divisions inside the ecclesias. And we should, I think that is a rallying cry to do everything humanly possible to bridge any divides that we may have. So thank you, Brother Nathan. I'm sure I haven't done justice to your discourse. And then we get to Brother Ben Seawalk's discourse, which has the best theme I've ever heard in my life, which is Jonah's evil. So I know my daughter Charlie would be excited about this evil. So we learnt here with Jonah, which was this word Ra, and I really like that. I wasn't aware of that, so thank you. and Ra and Eve, which was evil. And I won't do justice to what your magnificent discourse brought out, but you raise so many questions, and I love that. Questions that are to be answered prayerfully by us as individuals. We shouldn't be told everything. We wouldn't know. You know, we don't know. So questions. So I think that was so important. But what I really loved about the Jonah, I think, is my favorite character in the Bible, because he gets given the commission to go to Nineveh. They're enemies of God. They're merciless. They don't even worship. They don't even worship the same way. And I always thought of it that he was just frightened because they were going to probably skin him alive or come up with a new way of torturing him to death, I imagine. So he's like, no, and he goes off. And as we know the story, but I think there was two points. The one which I never thought of, and I'm very grateful for, Brother Nathan, is on the boat when they were basically saying, well, who's done something really bad here? Something really bad. What's going on? And they get to him. Now, the point was, in my former faith, it was viewed basically, oh, they were just superstitious. And so, you know, by accident, Jonah's like put his hand up and said, oh, yeah, it's me. No, it doesn't seem to be that way at all. You seem to bring out that the events are so unusual. They're so unusual that organically these men on the boat are like, this is an act of God. What has happened? And they point, when they find out, they point to him, and it's almost like this understanding, right, okay. And then it's like, okay, we're going to throw you over, which naturally people wouldn't even think, you know, that's instant death. So that was a new point that I grabbed onto, that idea that something was happening that was supernatural. That's not something that they were used to, even as seafaring people. But the point you also brought out, which I really love, was that, and I never thought of it, is the commission that Jonah gets is a condemnation. So can you imagine Jonah's pulled up his breeches and, oh, okay, I've been in the belly of the fish. You're going to get it now. That's it. You're getting full. And he goes in, and there's no escape for them. Never thought about it. He's in there. He's going to stamp his foot in the middle of the roadway, and you're getting your comeuppance. Never thought about it. There was no way out. You're all goners. You're all dead. And then when they all repent, he has basically this tantrum. Okay, a tantrum against God. He's been humiliated. How I knew it. I knew it. I knew you weren't going to do it. When did you? Of course, you didn't know that God was going to judge these wicked people. Of course. So I just really love that, and that God's mercy extended, which I never focused on again, to the animals. And in the time to come, animals will also be at peace. And also our view of animals right now should be one that God views. They are not to be tortured or abused or killed just for sport, for hunting in terms of food. That's fine. Or as a product, there's nothing wrong with that. But they're on the same footing. You've got the people and then you've got the animals. I thought that was just absolutely and utterly brilliant. And there's so much that we can, and also that God knows that we're dust. And it's so, so true. There's so much there. I can't go through everything there. But thank you very much. That was the best title. Jonah's evil, and Jonah is just an absolutely fascinating person. Then we go through to David Walchek, who has a journey through the courts of David, and I would pay admission to see Brother David Walchek cry again. I thought that was just beautiful. He nearly had me going too. As they say, you bring a tear to a glass eye, Brother David. We love you so much. Your passion for the truth, your passion for God's word. And I learned so much, and I'm sure many of us did, is that I never understood that in the Psalms, I always thought of them as being songs to God, okay? But I've learned that they weren't just songs, pleasant songs to God or songs of praise. They were prophecy put as songs. And I think that is, you know, it's often we choose whether it can be art, and we say that art is subjective, and people talk about high art or low art or common or so forth, and they dismiss art in a earthly, worldly sense, because they won't even give it the time of day, because they only can accept it in a certain way. And I just wonder, on a personal note, whether I have not taken the heaviness, the seriousness of the prophetic word in the Psalms, because they're not written like Daniel or Revelation or Isaiah or Jeremiah, you know, just because they're written in song. Or so that was just so and the hallelujah, praising Jehovah. And then you went into Christ being the head of the body. That's feeding back into all of our discussions. And of course, the prophets all point to Jesus Christ. And I think one of and also this is once again very thought-provoking, thank you very much, is that you said, which I totally agree with you, in the fullness of time, paraphrasing here, what are the textbooks going to be? Do you think we're going to have the ones we've got today? No, I don't think so at all. And there's often a saying that the conqueror gets to write the history. Okay? And I think nearly everything we've got is history written by the conquerors. In Australia, we were taught at school that Australia was discovered by Captain Cook. It wasn't. They forgot about the Aboriginal people that were here thousands of years before, and also the Dutch and the Spanish and the Chinese and the Portuguese and everybody else, but just to give you an example, that's what was taught. But we know more importantly than that, at the need for us. Oh, that's another point there. Sorry, another point there. There were so many. Thank you, Brother David. You're probably crying because you're exhausted, because there's too many amazing points. Is that David doesn't speak very much or very little about Satan. Okay? And you made the point it was focused on the Heavenly Father. It isn't that. Isn't that David, God said of him, and he was, you know, he was a murderous, adulterous man, really was, headstrong at times, had every reason to be smited, but God said he loved him. He loved David. And I'm just wondering whether his love for God was so great that he just didn't particularly even want to focus on Satan at all. Just a point. But just so many amazing points. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 3, which really focuses us on the end times that we are. Thank you very much, Brother Walchek. I'm sure I'm not doing justice to to your discourse. But then we went on to I'll find it. Sorry, I've got too many pages here. Then we went on to brother. I think we had brother. What do we get, brother Waltrip? Oh no, maybe it's a little bit later on. If I've forgotten brother Waltrip, I'm apologising already. We had the study. I nearly forgot you. As has been brought out by brother Bill, brother Adam is an absolute gem for us here in Australia, and I know I'm going to embarrass him, but when it comes to studies, he is a beast. We love him. Nobody does a study like brother Adam, and he is aglow with the Holy Spirit. And he really brings to bear once again the mystery. And this was a reoccurring theme for us, because we're involved in that mystery. We're it from the founding of the earth. And it's certainly not a hidden mystery to us. And I know that Brother Adam has always encouraged me, which I have to go back and have a look, but the Tabernacle Shadow book by Brother Russell is just phenomenal. He was a young man when he wrote it. And that is just for us to understand what it means for us and our character development, having a look at Tabernacle Shadows. But we got so much from that study. Brother Adam takes us through Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through to 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9. Of course, the mystery in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6. 1 Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 to 27. The mystery which is in Christ, and that's in us as well. It's just a reoccurring theme, and that study, which I can't do justice to, I'm sorry, but really focuses our attention on that character development. And when we actually understand that we're part of that mystery, when we understand how precious we are, you know, this is the best antidote to our anxieties and our depressions in life, which many of us suffer from, and dealing with the foibles, the weaknesses, boy, oh boy, to be able to focus on God's word, and especially the types that we see in the tabernacle, which really tell us about the creature development, the spiritual development that is needed for us to make our election sure. Then we go over to, sorry, I haven't done justice to that study, Brother Adam, but then we go to Brother Ray, and he really brought out some very, very great points, and ones that really stuck in my mind. That is, for me, I wrote them down as Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, and he brings out, which I often find it hard for my little brain to get around, because it's, we're baptized into Christ's death. So we're baptized into death so that we can be part of the resurrection. Because there is this, I suppose, this common idea within Christendom, Christianity, that it's into life, but it's not death. And that's very important, because we're dying to ourselves and being raised into Christ. And but unfortunately, sometimes the old man starts wanting to come to life by him or herself. So that's very, I thought that was a really, really important point. Also, the one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17, that once again of the resurrection. And it's the, once again, it's the to all that believe. That is such an important thing, going back to the discourse by Nathan Austin, that polarity. And we find in the hallmarks of the religionists, because we're not a religion, not at all. Brother Russell did not start a new religion, period. But every time that somebody wants to start a religion, right, you've got all seems to go out the window. It's only us. We know, you don't. We're saved, you're not. We're gonna, you know, we've got a position, you're down. That's something that is not God's plan, never has been, never will be. And the role of the church for us is to be part of helping all people when there is the general resurrection, and as we learn later on, the billions and billions and billions that are going to come back, and there needs to be that oversight to bring all of humanity back. This polarity, exclusivist thinking is not part of God's plan whatsoever if everybody's coming back. So the righteous and the unrighteous in that. So thank you, Brother Ray. I'm sorry, I'm running way out of time. Then we had Brother Stein, and David Stein, and he really focused once again on the role of the church. And it's very thought-provoking, because I think what Brother David Stein did is to understand, for me, was to understand the difference in my mind, and hopefully I'm getting it correct, is we often associate the idea of a church in terms of the religionists of this world. And that's the way I see it. But when we look at what it means for us and what privilege that we have, it's expansive. To me, we're not confined to a physical building, but our ability to put on the Christ, to be loving, to be compassionate to all. We do not understand what people have gone through. We don't understand the trials and tribulations they've gone through. We don't understand the abuse that they've gone through, the people that we meet in the street. So how dare us judge them? Whether they are of the high calling or not, they will in time see the benefits of Christ's rulership and the full extent of God's plan, that all humanity lives in peace and love, and love, and their suffering will be done away with, and they will be taught the way of truth. At the moment, they're not. They're bombarded by Satan. They have been lied to from every angle. They have been lied and manipulated in every way, to the extent that most people now don't even believe that God exists. So they have suffered. They have been abused. They have been placed in such a terrible situation for generations after generations. But we know that the time is coming to an end. And I certainly have not done justice, Brother Stein. But thank you very much for your discourse. It was a complete pleasure to listen to you. Then, sorry, I'm running way out of time. We go to Brother Len Grice. And once again, the theme continues. It's quite amazing that the theme from Brother Stein and then Brother Grice just followed through. So I don't know whether they cheated on each other's notes or not. I'm not sure. But if you did, it was amazing. But no, it's just the way things work. And here we are in the body of Christ, Brother Len. Thank you very much. Once again, we look at the issues here from 1 Thessalonians, also John chapter 11, verses 26. And this resurrection, Jesus is the resurrection. And you brought out, which was really, I think this is food for thought, that of Christ and his suffering, when you think about it, as you brought out, is for the Gentile. You know, what does the Gentile mean? You know, the unclean, the those that live strange ways, away from as Brother Adam Kopchick says, sanctified common sense. You know, the Gentiles in those times, they had God's people, the nation, and they had all the laws and everything to tell them what to do and to clean and how to act and you name it. They were told the way they dressed, the way they groomed, so forth, to be holy. And here were the Gentiles, they just did the opposite on everything. And yet Christ is dying for them. Amazing. Amazing. These people outside the confines of God's system, God's way of dealing with his chosen people, those who are just completely ignorant, arrogant, are living in opposition. That's who he dies for. And we see that in Christ. And you bring out what Christ means to us, I think, and how we treat other people. I think that's what I got. And we have a look, as I said, the scriptures there in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, John 11 and verse 16, and that ties in once again with what it means for us to be in the body of Christ, as Christ is the head, but we are all part of that. And I think it's so important that we understand and take a check of, if Christ is dying and suffered for all, then how on earth should we be treating all? Are we religionists? Are we exclusivists? Or how do we treat people? How do we really treat them? I think that is so important. And because for those of us, and we are to be with Christ, we are going to be part of that, the pouring out of the blessings to all people who have lived all kinds of lifestyles and believed all kinds of things and done all kinds of actions, all. So thank you very much, Brother Len, and I know I have not even gone close to doing justice to your discourse, but thank you very much. Then we come to Brother Adam Kopchick, who gave us another discourse and focused there on the hidden mystery. And once again, this theme comes through, this idea that we need to take onto ourselves to understand this with the Holy Spirit, with a view of partaking in the divine nature. I mean, this is just people, you know, ignorantly want to win the lotto. What would it be like if I won $50 million, $100 million, $500 million, whatever happened in the US? Okay, yeah, what could I do? That'd be amazing. Wow. But this is not a lotto. We are going to be partakers in the divine nature. All of us. How special, how privileged is this? So you, Brother Adam, also spoke about from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, the sacred secret. And this is a reoccurring theme. And we're part of that sacred secret. Soon as the things went awry, that which was put in place to redeem all that was lost, we are part of that. How special, how privileged are we, unworthy, but how privileged we are. Once again, the need for us not to judge. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through to 14. We don't know. We have no idea what lies beneath when it comes to other people. It's only God that knows that. It's and only when we are part of the divine nature will we be able to fully comprehend what is going on, what experiences people have had, what damage has happened to them, what abuse has happened to them, physically, emotionally, sexually, spiritually, and most importantly, spiritually, the demonic orders that have for decades and decades and eons, I should say, have hid the mystery of Christ from everybody. That is the greatest scam of all time, and this shows the power of demonic influences. And we as Bible students, there's probably a reason why there's only very few of us, because when you take away the judging, when you understand that Christ died for all, when you don't have smiting people that are on the blue side or the red side or the conservative side or the liberal side, whatever it happens to be, people don't seem to gravitate to the idea of all, because people want to feel special in the fallen state. I'm this, I know that person's to blame. They don't agree with me. There is no discourse. You're evil. I'm right. And if you're not with me, you're going to get it in the neck. Okay? So because we don't have that, because we understand that if smiting everybody was the way, then God would have killed Adam and Eve from the beginning, and that would have been it. Or at any moment at the flood or whatever, everything would have been wiped out. We'd all start again. That is not the way that God works. Once again, tabernacle shadows, which is as Brother Adam mentions there, and I love his turn of phrase, is the supermodel. I like that, supermodel, of the way that we modeling our behavior. Understanding, and we're going to be given a new name, and that's Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26. So there was so much more that I think this is important too, feeding back into this. Matthew chapter 16 verses 5 through to 7, Jesus saying, who do you say that I am? Have a look at the religionists of the world today. Catholics, Protestants, Orthodox, Adventists, my former faith, Jehovah's Witnesses. Ask them who they think Jesus Christ is. Unbelievable. And Peter's words, which Jesus says, I'm into, really, verily, verily, I guess. Peter said, you are the Christ of the living God. I'm into that, living God. Now, we come to the last discourse, Brother Joe Chapler from the Polish Ecclesia in Melbourne. And once again, it just tied in perfectly, absolutely perfectly. In the theme was Gideon called as a deliverer, and Brother Chapler gave such a dignified discourse, which brought us so close to our Heavenly Father. And we see that, I suppose, in Gideon, we probably see ourselves. Gideon was not wealthy. His family wasn't, and tribe wasn't powerful. And he's like, well, can you get somebody else that's got probably better pedigree than me? But no, it was him. And also, what I really liked is what Brother Chapler brought out is that it wasn't wrong for Gideon to test. Okay, it wasn't just he had doubts. He was aware of his limitations, and also he needed proof. He needed to be shown proof. And there's nothing wrong with that. If we need something in our own way to call upon the Lord to help us to understand, we might have a question, might have a quandary. Nothing wrong with us asking for more, and we will be given that. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, and that is that over the ages, there hasn't been too many of the wise and the influential that have been followers, footstep followers of Christ. We look at those who are meant to be the intellectuals of this world, and they are in incredibly intelligent. And I'm sure Brother Jim Parkinson has probably met many of these intellectuals and many people over time, whether it was Hawkins or so forth. And they just reject God outright. Absolutely. Einstein rejected the idea of a personal God outright. And they can just go on and on and on and on and on. So Carl Sagan or others. So my point is that the mighty, the lofty, the people that have incredible intellect, they're not chosen, but they'll be resurrected, and that's fine. And then they'll know what they didn't know. They'll be the missing pieces for them. So Brother Chapler also spoke about the promise and the change in the first resurrection. And also the power and the authority the outworking of God's plan by means of the angels, and that hasn't changed. Hasn't changed at all. And so we saw that in Psalms chapter thir sorry, the 34th Psalm and verse 7. So we learned so much from this disc. Also, I thought what was also very important is, and Brother Chapler brought this back to today, is that in Judges chapter 6, 1 through to 6, we see that God's protection was taken off the nation, and then the calamities come. And all their means of survival, whether their crops, their animals, and so forth, that were being blessed by God, that was removed. The protection was removed, and they were surrounded, and they were in a terrible, terrible state. And it's interesting that so many nations that profess, even in their constitutions, worship God. Even in the United States, I don't know which coin it is that says in God we trust. I hope I'm getting that right. Yes, beautiful sentiment. Amen. Are they? Are we? Do we do this in Australia? Do we? No, we're secular authorities, secular ways of thinking. And is the calamity that we're seeing environmentally, the calamity that we're seeing in terms of the deforestation, in terms of wiping out the animal species, the rainforest, acid rain, the pollution, the effect that we're having on the earth. God's order is perfect. And when we go away from that, when people that have had the Bible for so long, and as Brother Jim was saying, I concur, there probably wouldn't be a major language group in the world that doesn't have access to to the Bible or parts of the Bible for them to understand. So anyway, brethren, I forgive me if I have missed